Thanks for listening to the Wellspring Church Podcast.
All right, so before we get started, I have to make a confession. I just took a big sip of water and I spilled it all over my shirt. I really wish there was some elaborate illustration I was trying to make, but I'm a slob. And so just don't, you know, I figured I had to own it and tell you what had happened. Otherwise, y'all would have been, you'd have been talking, does he have something on his shirt? I do, it's water. I took a big swig, and yeah. So now that we've gotten that out of the way, I'm going to restart the sermon, but I'm going to go back here, and I'm going to restart it, but now you'll understand. Just pretend like this isn't here, okay? We cool? I hear all the time, people are like, we love how real you are, Pastor. Well, that's real. I spill stuff on my shirt. All right, let me ask you a question. How many of you guys, when you were in school, and you had to study for a test, how many of you could listen to music and study at the same time? Maybe y'all are freaks. I asked this last hour, people raised their hand too. I have never been able to understand that. I am the exact opposite. Whenever I have to focus and really think clearly, like when I have to, when I'm trying to read something, when I'm trying to study for a test, like when I was back in school, or even now, like if I'm trying to prepare for a message, like I have to have complete and total silence, which is why I don't get much work done at home. I have to have silence because I'm very easily distracted. And so I have to, you know, go into my office or I have to be in my office here. I have to get really quiet because otherwise I can't focus. And so I've always just kind of marveled at you people who can do that. I've really wondered if you just don't care. And so you just read. Let's say you can read and listen to music at the same time. My assumption is that for every person in this room, there are times where you do have to take some steps to remove some distractions. You have to, you know, try to clear out some things so you can focus. Like, for example, maybe you're married and you have kids, and you've tried to have a conversation, and, you know, one of you looks at the other and said, look, let's just wait until they go to bed to have this conversation because we can't really focus right now. Maybe you're in the car and your friend tries to start telling you something serious. You'll kind of turn the radio down or turn the radio off, you know, so you can focus more on them. Or maybe you've been in a restaurant or at a party and you got a phone call. And you've tried to take the phone call, but you couldn't hear, so you had to step outside so that you could hear them, hear what they have to say. Or some people I've heard, they do this. Maybe you have, like, blackout curtains in your bedroom, and, like, you sleep with a mask on so you can block out the distracting sun, you know, so that you can focus on your rest, on your sleep. See, no matter who you are, my assumption is at some point you've taken some steps to eliminate some distractions to help you focus. And you did this because we pretty much all learned at a pretty early age that there is an inherent thing we all just kind of know that there's an inverse correlation between distraction and focus, which means as distraction goes up, our ability to focus goes down. And as distractions go down, our ability to focus goes up. So we kind of inherently know that we should block out distractions when it's time for us to focus. And if you have children, you know we learned this at a very early age. If you've ever tried to get your kids' attention, like it's bedtime or you need them, and they're watching Curious George or they're playing on their iPhones or whatever, you got to shake them to get their attention, right? Because they are focused in. They are locked in that moment. And that's a great skill, except for that moment, right? Because you just need them to listen to you. But it's a great skill to be able to eliminate distractions in our life. You know it. I know it. We've all experienced it. Now, I'm not saying anything you don't know, right? Like you're kind of wondering, okay, this is what's going on here? Like, why are we talking about eliminating distractions? Well, it's because for me, this idea of eliminating distractions to increase our focus sets us up perfectly for what we want to talk about today, because we're in this series that we're calling the 21-Day Challenge, where we've been talking about best practices for life. We've been talking about spiritual disciplines, these things that God has passed down to humanity, and they're ways that make it better for us. They make our lives better. They make it easier for us to hear from God, easier for us to understand God, easier for us to know what God wants us to do with our lives. And so what we've been doing for these last 14 days and for this 7 is I've been challenging you to put these into practice in your life. 2 weeks ago, I challenged you to begin reading the Bible. I challenge you to read one chapter a day, every day, for 21 days. And we're now on day 14. Tomorrow we'll start day 15. I don't know many of you have done that. Last week I challenged you to add prayer to your practices. Prayer is just simply a way of talking to God. It's our conversation. I challenge you to pray every day. And here's what I know. I know if you've taken this challenge seriously, and if you started consistently reading your Bible, if you started consistently talking to God, my assumption is you feel closer to God. You feel like you understand him better. You feel like you know him more. And as I've been saying for 2 weeks, you feel closer to God, but he's not the one that moved. You moved closer to him. See, these spiritual disciplines, these spiritual practices, you almost have to be careful when you teach them, because for a lot of people, they do them like as a performance for God. We do them to show God how great we are, and we do them hoping God's going to like us more. As I've been saying for 2 weeks, God can't possibly like you any more than he likes you right now. There's nothing you can do to make God like you more. We do these spiritual practices, we do these best practices, these spiritual disciplines, because they make us like God more. They help us fall more and more and more in love with him. And for most people, for most of the time, if you make reading your Bible and praying a part of your daily life, you are going to clearly hear from God, you're going to have direction from God, you're going to feel close to God, and everything's kind of going to go okay. But there are going to come times in your life, and you may be in one right now. There are going to be seasons where the distractions elevate. There are going to be seasons where you really feel like you need to focus in and hear clearly from God. You need direction on a decision. You need to know if you should take that new job. You need to know if you should ask that girl to marry you. You need to know what you should do with your kids. And you just really need to hear from God. You need to remove some distractions so that you can focus on him. And that's what we're going to talk about today. This third spiritual discipline, this third best practice, I believe God gave it to us and designed it for that very purpose. Now, before I even tell you what it is, I want to say one more disclaimer. If you're here today and you're not a Christian, which we love the fact that people attend Wellspring Church and you don't believe what we believe. We love that so much. We are so glad you're here. We say all the time, this is the safest place in Myrtle Beach to doubt God. You can come here and ask your questions. You can come here and be skeptical. We just beg you to keep coming, because we think if you keep coming back and you keep exploring God, eventually you're going to change your mind, because we know God is real. And he is changing our life, and we believe he can change yours. But if you're on that side today, if you're on the side of not yet believing in God, you're going to think what we're talking about today is crazy. You are, I'm just telling you. You're going to think that sounds a little crazy. But here's the deal. We as a people believe that a grown man died and came back to life. That's pretty crazy too. But we believe that with all our hearts, and we know what happened. So what I'm going to encourage you to do today is, we're talking about this third best practice. Don't tune out just because it sounds crazy. Right? Because just like reading the Bible works whether you believe in God or not, and just like prayer works whether you believe in God or not, I believe this third spiritual practice works whether you believe in God or not. It's still a best practice for life. And you can use it when you need to hear clearly, when you need focus to make a better decision. So, what are we talking about? If you grew up in church, you probably guessed it already. We are talking about the spiritual discipline, the spiritual practice of fasting. And fasting simply means this. Fasting is the voluntary act of abstaining from something for a specific period of time to focus more of your time and attention on God. It's the voluntary act of abstaining from something for a specific period of time. Now, when most people hear fasting and they think about fasting, they think about food. They assume that you're supposed to fast for food. Some of you have had to fast for food, and it wasn't for a spiritual reason. You had to fast because you had a test the next morning, and they said you couldn't eat for 12 hours, and you're thinking, that was not a spiritual experience at all, Pastor. It was awful. And I understand that. But the way fasting works is you abstain from something so that you can spend more of your time focusing on what's important. So you can spend more of your time focusing on God. Many people will fast. They fast a meal. They'll fast several meals. Jesus, when he was on earth, he fasted for 40 days and nights before he began his public ministry. Unless you are the Son of God, I don't recommend you try that. But go right ahead. But he fasted from food. But you can fast from anything. There are some people that fast from television for a time. There's some people that fast from the internet for a time. Have mercy. There are some people that will fast from social media for a time. If you grew up Catholic, you have probably heard of fasting during Lent. Several other denominations do this as well. Lent is the 40 days leading up to Easter. It begins on Ash Wednesday. And most Catholics and some other denominations will fast from something for that 40 days. And it's a way of focusing their attention on God in preparation for Easter. It begins on Ash Wednesday, the day before Ash Wednesday. A little trivia is called Fat Tuesday. It means Mardi Gras. If you ever wonder why people party on Mardi Gras, they party on Tuesday because they try to live it up for 40 days because they're about to give it up for 40 days. And that's what they're doing. So that's why they do that. Then they just kind of take it to extremes. But fasting is something that's been around since Jesus' time. And fasting was even around before Jesus' time. And fasting has always been a spiritual practice that God's given us to allow us to hear him more clearly. Now, you may be wondering, all right, how does this work? Like, how does giving something up help me focus on God? And there's a couple of reasons I'd like to share really quick. Number one, fasting increases our dependence on God. Now, this is especially important if you fast from food. Or if you give up something, you know, maybe you fast from sugar for a couple of days. If you've ever tried to get off sugar, you know, like day two is the worst day of your life, right? You just had this dull headache and it feels bad. And so one of the things that fasting does, like if you fast from food, every time you feel hungry, you're supposed to pray. And every time you have the desire for the thing you've given up, you're supposed to pray because that's increasing our dependence on God. And it's teaching us that God can provide for everything we need in those moments. Fasting also, it allows more time and attention for God in our lives. Because again, you're taking something out. You're taking the time you would spend eating, the time you would spend watching television, the time you would spend on Facebook. That's a lot. The time you would spend doing any of those things, and instead, you focus more of your attention on God in those moments. Also, fasting heightens spiritual and mental alertness as we focus less on us and more on God. It heightens the alertness because we have less distractions, because you've cleared them out. So, kind of the way I talk about fasting and kind of a way to kind of summarize this for you is this. Fasting turns down the distractions and turns up the voice of God in our lives. It turns down the distractions and it turns up the voice of God. In essence, I like to think of fasting as a really high-end pair of Bose noise-canceling headphones. That's what fasting is, right? If you've ever been on an airplane or somewhere and you've got those noise-canceling headphones, moms, if you have like more than two children, you should invest in a pair of noise-canceling headphones. You just put them boogers on, turn them on, and it's shh. It just all goes away for a second. And then I feel like my kids, they just start tapping you. Tapping you. But that's what fasting is. Fasting is a set of noise-canceling headphones. Fasting is your way of saying, all right, God, I really need to hear from you. I really need to hear this clearly. I'm confused. I'm not sure what to do. So I'm going to fast. I'm going to fast for a season in an effort to turn down the distractions and turn up your voice in my life. Now, before I even get to how to do this or anything like that, don't you see how valuable that could be? Don't you think how valuable it would be if you were walking into a situation and you didn't know what to do and you weren't sure and you'd ask your friends and you'd ask your family and you'd ask your pastor, but you still weren't sure and you weren't quite sure what God was going to say, to now know that you have in your back pocket a mechanism, a gift that he's given that says, hey, this is how you do this. When you aren't sure what I'm saying, when you aren't sure which way to go, here's what you do. You take this best practice. You fast. And when you turn down those distractions, I'm promising you right now, you're going to turn up my voice. And you're going to clearly hear what it is I am trying to say. So that's what fasting is. Now, really the question is, how do we do it? Like, how do we fast? And the answer is really simple. However you want. It's a really wide open deal. There's not a certain way to do it. There's not a certain time to do it. You don't have to fast certain times a year. See, that's the difference between prayer and reading your Bible and fasting. Prayer works best when you pray every day. Reading your Bible works best when you read every day, when it becomes a part of your normal routine, when you begin that relationship. Fasting does not work that way. Fasting is more of a situational best practice rather than a regular best practice. In fact, the only people we know of that ever fasted regularly that's recorded in Scripture was a group of religious leaders called the Pharisees. And these were the people that lied about Jesus to have him killed. and they would fast twice a week. And they would fast twice a week because they wanted everybody to know how holy they were and how smart they were and how great they were. So they would fast twice a week, and they would show everybody how great they were by fasting twice a week. Well, as we've been talking about for all these spiritual practices, that misses the entire point of these best practices. They are not for us to show off to other people. They are not for us to impress other people. They are for our benefit, and they're supposed to draw us closer to God. So Jesus, when he was preaching, last week we talked about the Sermon on the Mount. We talked about some of his teachings on prayer. Well, we're going to pick up right where we stopped, because right after he talks about prayer, he talks about fasting because of how closely they are related. And what he says about fasting is almost exactly what he says about prayer. But it's more important, because prayer is this thing we're supposed to do all the time, right? Fasting is this unique thing. We're supposed to do it in certain seasons. And if we don't fast properly, we lose all the benefit of fasting. And that's really what Jesus is trying to say. He's saying, hey, I want you to try this. I want you to do this. This is a gift for you. But you have to do it right. You have to do it with the right motives and the right intentions. And if you do, man, I'm going to blow your socks off with how clearly I speak to you during this time. So, if you have your Bibles, join me. We're going to turn to Matthew chapter 6. If not, if it's going to be up on the screen, just like always. And here's what Jesus says when he starts talking to us about fasting, right? And he begins the same way he began with prayer. He says, and when you fast, not if you fast, when you fast, because he's assuming if you're going to spend your life following him, you are going to have times, you are going to have seasons, you're going to have issues where you need to hear from him. And so what he's trying to say is, here's how to be prepared when you get there. Here's what you should do. When you fast, don't make it obvious, as the hypocrites do. For they try to look miserable and disheveled so people will admire them for their fasting. He's talking about the religious leaders. He's talking about the Pharisees of the day. They would fast twice a week. And on the days they were fasting, they would walk around like this. Oh. And someone would say, what's wrong? What's wrong? He's like, oh, I'm fasting for the Lord. Oh, I'm fasting for the Lord. I'm so tired. Oh, and there are the people who are always on Facebook. Day 2 of fasting. Hashtag blessed. Oh, hashtag I'm so tired. Oh, they didn't even need filters on Snapchat. They would just go, oh, I'm fasting. Oh, I'm fasting. Because their goal in fasting was to impress you. It was for people to look and say, look at them. Look how special they are. Look how much they love God, man. They are getting it done. And you know what? I don't know about you, but I think some people, even in the modern 21st century church, they might attend church sometimes. I'm not saying all the time, but sometimes to impress other people. You know, that basket drops. They get out this big wad of cash. They look around. Nobody's looking, so they wait for the basket to come by again. Hey, bring that back. Bring that back. Nobody saw me do it. Plow. And what Jesus is trying to say, and he's saying, look, man, these are amazing things. These are great gifts. But if your goal in putting these into practice is to impress other people, guess what? You'll probably impress other people. But you'll lose me. So that's what he says next. He says, I tell you the truth, that is the only reward they will ever get. See, these religious leaders were showing off, man, and they were trying to impress people, and they gained man, and they missed God. Think about it. These religious leaders were fasting twice a week to get closer to God. The Son of God was in their midst, and they had him killed. Because their heart was aimed at gaining man, and they did. And they missed God. He was right in front of them. And what Jesus is trying to say is, he said, it can't be that way amongst you. You don't want it to be that way. You don't want to gain man and miss God. Because here's the thing. When you get God, I'm going to give you man. He comes too. And it's the right ones for the right reasons. So when you fast, don't brag about it. In fact, when you do anything for God, don't brag about it. When you do anything for God, make sure you're doing it for God. That's what Jesus says next. He says, look, but when you fast, comb your hair and wash your face. Now, that's just a good rule for life. I feel safe saying that Jesus would want us to do that at all times. Comb your hair, wash your face. Hygiene is a good thing for Christians. We don't want to be known as smelly people. But what he's really saying here is he's saying, when you fast, comb your hair, wash your face, make yourself look put together. Don't broadcast that you're fasting. Why? So then no one will notice that you're fasting. He's saying, when you give these things up, live in a way where nobody knows you're giving them up. Don't broadcast it. Don't brag about it. Why? Because your heavenly Father, he says, then no one will notice that you're fasting except your Father who knows what you do in private. He's saying, hey, if this is really about me, when you do this, make it about me. That means for you, if you decide to fast for a few days, don't brag about it on Facebook. Now, please, I'm not saying don't ask your friends to help you. Don't ask your friends to pray for you. Of course you should do that. I've never fasted without talking to my wife about it, without talking to the staff about it, because if I'm on fast, they need to know. Because by day two of the fast, before I break through to the other side, it might be a little rough. And so they need to understand, don't ask Trey that question today. He hasn't had sugar in 2 days. So he's not saying you can't talk about it. He's saying, what is your goal with fasting? Is your goal to gain men or to gain God? Because you can't have both. So he's saying, look, when you do this, when you do any of these spiritual practices, anything when it comes to developing your relationship with me, I'm the goal. Please me. Do it for me, is what he's saying. And look what happens. And your Father, who sees everything, will reward you. Yes, he said reward. He will reward you. You know what the reward is? More of him. That's the reward. When you turn down the distractions and turn up the focus on God, you are rewarded with more of God. Which hopefully is what you were seeking in the first place when you began to fast. You needed more of God. You needed more of his wisdom. You needed more of his peace. You needed more of his mercy. You needed more of his understanding. You needed more of his logic. You needed more of his love. You needed more of his compassion. And we have this mechanism where we can turn down everything else, where we can turn up his voice, and we can go to him and say, Father, I need this at this moment. And he's saying, I will give it to you. I will gladly give it to you when you actually seek me for it. I'm going to reward you with it. And then he leaves it up to you. The ball's in your court because he can't determine what, other people can't determine what your heart is. And other people can't determine why you're doing things. God can, but other people can't. And so I certainly can as your pastor. All I can do is encourage you. All I can do is point you into these practices and tell you they 100% work. So if fasting isn't like reading the Bible, if fasting isn't like praying, it's not something we should do every single day, the question becomes, how often should we fast? How often should we do it? And the answer is very deep and very theological. You ready for it? As often as we need to. That's how often you should fast. As often as you need to fast. Some of you will need to fast more than others. Some of you have more questions than others. Some of you will have seasons where you won't fast at all. Others, you will have seasons where you fast often. See, that's the thing. When we actually study God's Word, we study the Scriptures, what we see is the vast majority of the time when God's people fasted, it was in response to something. As I said, Jesus fasted for 40 days and nights in preparation for his earthly ministry. King David fasted as a way of repenting before God and trying to ask God to help him make sure he could avoid that temptation in the future. And he was asking God to intercede on his behalf, so he fasted. We see several accounts in the New Testament where the early church needed an answer from God. They needed to know what he wanted them to do with a certain situation, and so they would fast. And they would be still, and they would be silent before God, and they would ask him to speak clearly to them. So, for you, how often should you fast? As often as you need to make decisions that you think would benefit from a little more and a little extra clarity from the God of the universe. You may have a career decision to make. Should I take this job? Should I take that job? Should I move my family? Should I accept this promotion? How should I handle this situation at work? My boss is being unethical. I don't know what to do. Maybe you have a parenting decision. Your kids are asking questions. There's a struggle. You don't know what to do. When you feel hopeless and helpless and you don't know where else to turn is when God says, hey, why don't you turn on the distractions of everybody else and turn up my voice? Maybe I can help. So only you know when you should fast. Only you know what you wish God would speak clearly to you on. My goal today was to teach you that there is a mechanism by which you have the ability to tap in at a greater level to God's voice and his power. And it's through this thing called fasting. Because fasting turns down the distractions and turns up the voice of God in our lives. It turns them down, and it turns him up. So here's my challenge for you today as we kind of wrap up this 21-day challenge. I hope beginning tomorrow morning you'll join us as we continue to read our Bible together for one more week. I hope that you'll join us and you will pray daily for one more week. We're going to continue to send you emails. We're going to continue to send you instructions. And starting tomorrow, we're going to send you some resources on fasting, some instructions for how to do it, some verses about fasting. And here's my challenge to you. I'm not going to challenge you to fast every day, but I'm going to challenge you at some point in the next week to fast. Just try it. Just do it as an exercise so that you can start to build up the muscles that you're going to need the next time a tidal wave comes into your life. The next time you have a decision that you have to make. The next time there's a crisis that you don't understand. The next time you don't know what to do, you'll have this in your back pocket. Oh, that's right. God's given me this gift of fasting. I can try this. So what I want you to do is I want you to try it this week. I want you to practice this week. Now, some of you may decide to fast a meal. You may decide to fast a day. Some of you may try to decide to fast from television. I would encourage you to fast maybe from social media for a time. Many of you, I love you, could benefit from getting off Facebook for a while. Don't know how much clearer to say that. Fast from social media, except for the Wellspring social media, because we have many resources for you this week. But I know some of you are wondering, all right, what should I fast from? How do I know where I should fast? It's very simple. What distracts you the most? Side note, sorry moms, you cannot fast from your kids. Can't do that. That's not an option. But what distracts you the most? What do you find yourself being drawn to? That's the thing that you should consider fasting from this week so you can turn down that distraction, so you can turn up the voice of God in your life. So continue to read your Bible, continue to pray, and add fasting to your tool belt this week. And know that your church is going to be with you this week. We're going to keep sending emails. We're going to pray for you this week. But just because the 21 days is over doesn't mean these practices need to end in your life. See, our job as a church is to train you and equip you to become the men and women God wants you to be. And we believe that these best practices are the beginning of that equipping. And we've done everything we can to give you resources, to give you teaching, to give you support to start this. But our prayer is that when the 21 days is over on day 22, you're going to have found them so valuable and so life-changing, and your relationship with God is going to be so much better that you're going to decide on day 22 to keep making them a part of your life and to keep exploring your relationship with God and to keep reading his word and to keep praying with him and having a conversation and to take advantage of this amazing gift of turning down the distractions we have. Well, you can clearly lock into the God of the universe. This entire series is for you. is for every man or woman in this room who's attempting to grow their relationship with God deeper. And if you're here today and you don't believe in God, you're still attempting to grow your relationship deeper. Otherwise, you wouldn't be here. You're here because you're interested. You're here because you're exploring. And we want to do everything we can to make that journey profitable and to help you understand the greatest decision you'll ever make in your life is to surrender your life to the God of the universe who gave his son for you and wants to lead you into the life he created you to live. And that's a life of meaning. That's a life of purpose. And that's a life where he not only changes you, but he uses you to change the world. So as we close, we're going to close with a song. And my prayer is as we close with this song that you will begin to decide right now that these practices don't end on day 21. You decide right now that they're so valuable you're going to make them a part of your life going forward. And you ask God to help you, give you some clarity right now for just how you could try out fasting this week. Just practice fasting. Just begin to develop the muscles of turning down those distractions so you can turn up the voice of God. So when you need it, you're ready. Let's pray. Father, we love you so much. We thank you just for the gifts and for all the blessings you just pour on us, Father. I thank you for these best practices for life. I thank you that you gave us your word so we could read it and know you more. I thank you that you gave us the gift of prayer where we can communicate with you. And I thank you so much for this amazing gift of fasting. Our ability from time to time to turn down the distractions, to tune them all out and focus solely on you. Father, I pray you make that practice real in our lives this week. I pray for the people who have decisions they have to make. I pray they put fasting in their tool belt, Father, and they use it. They put it into practice this week. And I can't wait to see how you reward them with more of you, with more wisdom and compassion and understanding and guidance, Father. As we close, show us the step you want us to take this week. See in your son's name we pray.
Thanks again for listening to the Wellspring Church podcast. For more information, sermon downloads, and more, visit wellspringchurch.tv.